Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And never mind the FPL action, Sam. Never mind that we're in the middle of the busiest double game week of the season. Never mind these Premier League clubs that could have sacked their managers in the international break. Oh, no. Makes perfect sense not to do it then. Let's do it right in the middle of an FPL game week. Rodgers sacked. I had a whole thing planned about how we were going to talk about what that meant for Madison and Leicester. Never mind that. In the last half an hour, Graham Potter sacked by Chelsea Football Club. Sacked by Chelsea. I have no more words for Chelsea. I literally have no more words for Chelsea and what goes on at that football club. Honestly, I just don't know. What is your reaction to that literally breaking news? It's happened in the last half an hour.
Not surprised.
Yeah. It kind of felt inevitable, didn't it?
Yeah.
Every Chelsea fan you speak to, and FPL Harry, I think he's in the chat tonight. He's delighted, by the way.
Yeah.
Delighted
as
that he's gone.
As are my dad and brother.
Your dad and brother, delighted he's gone. I feel a little bit sorry for
Potter
him.
Potter was always going to be the wrong manager for Chelsea. Dear because me. Chelsea didn't want a long-term project manager who you've got to allow to get the system up and working and players and everything else. They didn't want that. Chelsea wanted quick fix, in you come, win the Champions League, get, you know, all of this stuff working immediately. They didn't have
that's them to a T though, isn't it? They've spent years with this kind of like sugar fix mentality. Oh, it's not going well. Bang, we're going to spend 100 million on a player. Bang, we're going to sack the manager. Bang, we're going to do this. Bang, we're going to do that. It's like, come on, guys. At some stage, you have to accept that you are building for something and you're building for the future.
But that's not what they want to do. They don't want
it's
to do
Chelsea,
that.
It's not Chelsea, is it?
They don't
it's
want to do Chelsea. That. So when they hired Potter in the first place, I was like, Don't get it. It doesn't
felt a bit wrong at the time, didn't it?
He's not the right man.
No.
He's not the right man.
No.
They'll go and get Nagelsmann now.
Well,
my
that
feeling
is
that's
entirely
why,
possible.
That's why they've done it now. That you said why now? That's why they got embarrassed
Could
by
be.
Villa yesterday. Nagelsmann's available. There's a manager we can just get in straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think the future holds for Potter? Do you think he can pick up the Leicester job or the Spurs job? I'd be interested in your thoughts on whether he can pick up the Spurs job.
I think he can pick up the Spurs job.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spurs job is... Does he want the Spurs job?
Chelsea job, to be honest.
I don't know. See, I actually think that Spurs would be going into whoever is the next manager, going, we need a project manager. Like, we need somebody to come in and let's start again, let's rebuild.
Yeah.
So maybe actually that is a good thing for Potter. I think he absolutely can do the Leicester job and do a good job at Leicester.
Yeah.
So I expect to see Potter back in the job imminently.
I don't know. He's going to get such a big payout for Chelsea because they all do, right? He'll be on some sort of ridiculous contract. He'll get a payout and he'll probably work to the end of the season. I don't think he will rush into another job.
I can see him being at Leicester before the end of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced about that.
If you were Graham Potter, looking at the potential and the way that Leicester behave as a club, the way that they invest... I think that is an almost perfect club for him.
Well, do you know what? Webby is in the chat. Good evening, Webby. Yes, and Potter to Leicester, Nagelsmann to Chelsea, Rodgers to Spurs. Easy. Would you have Rodgers at Spurs?
No.
I'm
at Poch.
Imagine Rodgers going to Spurs.
I'm at Poch, please. Rodgers, where can he go?
John Tyner, Poch, FPL family. Yeah, listen, the Spurs fans never got over Pochettino leaving. I mean, he's just...
It was like the divorce you never wanted and you secretly hoped that the person who divorced you would wake up one morning and go, oh my God, I've made a horrible mistake. We must get remarried straight away.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about Poch for the last few years. And I'm hoping that one morning I'm going to wake up and there's going to be a glorious announcement on the Spurs website that says Poch has come home and I'll probably cry.
Well, Cyberdebt is in the chat, as usual, as he is every week, Nigel the Crab. How are you doing, Sigel?
Sigel.
Cyberdebt, Nigel the Crab. He's saying he would love to get sacked by Chelsea. Would absolutely love it. The millions of pounds you get.
In fact, Chelsea,
easy work, isn't it?
If you're watching,
easy
Chelsea, I'll put my name in the hat. You can sack me in next week. I'll get paid like millions.
I'll have an 8-year contract. I can deal with the pressure for a month or so. Bin me off.
Oh, I'll lose the Champions League you can pay me off after it.
Yeah, do it.
You know, pay off our mortgage and I'm happy. Thanks, Chelsea. Away we go.
Clacko is in. Hey, Clacko, Chelsea can't keep throwing money at the club. They will, Clacko. I'm telling you, that is how they are built. That's in their DNA. Most of the top teams have got the money now. So Leicester would be a good match for Potter. Yeah, so there you go. Clacko agreeing with you on the... on the Leicester thing. Jai is saying, hey, Jai, Rodgers to Spurs, things you'd love to see.
Oh, for God's sake. Why? Of all the things Levy does, Rodgers to Spurs is not the thing.
David Lavinson is saying, no, Rodgers to Saints. You see, there is a lot of clubs.
See, that could
right?
happen. I could see that. Rodgers to Southampton.
The merry-go-round is real, isn't it, at the minute? Is
Who's
it,
next?
I remember seeing something on Twitter just as coming. I think, chat will correct me if I'm wrong, 12th manager? 12th managerial change this season in the Premier League.
The
I might be wrong,
week,
but
Conte went Wednesday.
It is bonkers.
We've had two today.
Bonkers. We had Vieira going not so long ago. Hodgson back in.
Well, if they're still looking for a manager, Palace. Well, Rodgers to Palace.
You probably say that Hodgson piece is probably temporary. So
yeah, it is. It's till the end of the season, Hodgson.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's right. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
So Southampton at the end of the season, Spurs at the end of the season. And Palace so far, all needing new managers for the start of next season.
Yeah, I still think Potter is a well we are a perfect example of just knowing when you've got the right man and just accepting that you're gonna have a difficult season and build for the future.
I would be intrigued to see who goes next though, because there's a few clubs in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think this manager sacking is over.
Well, it's the Premier League. It never is. No, yeah, it
this
never
does
is.
Seem a bit savage at the moment. Yeah, it's savage time to be a Premier League manager right now.
Very, very savage. And it is a pretty savage time to be an FPL manager as well. In a bit of a segue, do you like that little segue? Segue into FPL. This is an FPL family live stream, so we do need to talk about FPL. Despite all of the managerial merry-go-round and the nonsense that's going on in the Premier League right now, we are in the middle, Sam. Slap bang in the middle of Double Game Week 29, the biggest and most chaotic game week of the season so far. Probably the most chaotic one we're going to have this year.
Oh, yeah.
It was always going to be a big one. There was chips around. There was different captaincy strategies. Lots and lots going on. Lots of transfers going backwards and forwards in the build-up to this week. And it has been... it was crazy last week, the build-up. So it was crazy. And this weekend hasn't disappointed. There have been some ridiculous games. My favourite so far is the Brighton and Brentford game. I mean, talk about two teams... bang on
went
form
to war, didn't
that
they?
Went to war. Oh my God. And we are going to talk in a bit more detail about Brighton later on, because if you are a Solly March owner or indeed a captainer, how you have dodged those points again this week is unreal.
Solly March hates FPL points.
I don't know what Solly March FPL owners of Solly March and FPL must be absolutely fuming every week. He dodges points like I've never seen. Solly March
hates them.
Unbelievable. In fact, I even had a look to see where he would be on the XG underachievers this week.
Right.
So those players that have got really, really high, yeah, pretty good XG for the week. So they're doing all the right things, getting shots away, shots in the box, all the rest of it, but haven't scored. So I went onto the Fantasy Football Scout members area. If you're not a member at Scout already, get into the link in the description below. We use all of the members, Fantasy Football Scout members area stuff right here on the live stream. Invaluable source of knowledge. Brilliant for the season. We are on it personally every single season. He's at the top. He's at the top, sorry, March. Top for XG underachievers across the game week so far with an XG of 0.9. Crazy, right? Crazy how he dodges the points. It's unbelievable. Nigel the Crab in with the super chat. Nigel, that is very, very generous of you, mate. Thank you, Simon, for the super chat. Very nice of you. Hello, Bonfields. Good to see you back and healthy, Sam. Yes, we should say you are well again. You are well again. This is good. This is good.
98% there, I'd say.
Good.
The occasional coughing fit. So if that happens during the stream, I apologise.
Might be a little bit of a coughing breakdown. It could
an
happen.
Occasional loss of the voice. All of a sudden, it would just disappear. But generally feeling a lot better, thank you. Yeah.
Yes,
so,
thank you, guys. And thank you, Simon, for the comment, because you were particularly unwell
honestly,
when we couldn't do the live stream last week. So or the week before, whenever it was.
I will say, genuinely, if anyone else has had... I had the flu, and it literally knocked me out for 2.5 weeks.
It was bad news, wasn't it?
I mean, to the point where game week 20, I didn't even know what I did. Transfer-wise, didn't know what I did. Even going into this week, I really struggled to get my head...
in the game.
...working properly to work out what earth I should do. To the point I was still making changes on Saturday morning, and I never
very unusual
do
for
that.
You. Very unusual.
But I just didn't have the mental... werewolf role to sort my life out. So hoping that game week 30, I'm going to be back in it properly. Like,
well, Simon goes on to say he is on 25 points this game week. 25. And he's come to realise something undeniable, that he should just pick auto pick at the beginning of the season and just leave it.
No, Simon.
He is the hashtag Graham Potter of the FPL community.
Exact.
That'd be no fun, Si, would it? Be no fun if you just auto picked and left it for the season. This is the fun of FPL. That's why we're here every Sunday having a bit of a laugh about it, mate. That's what it's all about.
What I'd be interested to know is how many hits did Si take this week?
Yeah,
because
he's actually net 80.
He's probably on 100, but he's taken so many points in. Either that, or this week he didn't take enough points hit.
Well,
because Si does love a hit.
Well, to be honest, this game week has gone largely as I thought it would. I know a lot of you will hate me for saying this word because it's a bit of a dirty word in the FPL community at the minute, but variance, right? It has been a high variance game week, as I thought it would be.
Yeah, we're not even halfway.
We're only halfway. Anything can happen. We're only halfway. But
still got the Legends tomorrow night.
Still got your lot to play.
That's why I'm feeling all right about life, you see.
They've not managed to ruin your weekend. It's nice that when that happens,
isn't it? I absolutely love being Monday Night Football.
Who did Liverpool play? We played somebody. Oh, the Everton game. And I come on here and I was full of beans. Because
I love it. You're not unhappy.
Yeah.
The hope is there. The hope that you're going to get to the, you know, tomorrow night, I'm going to be sat there in our living room. Harry Kane's going to have scored a hat trick. Son's going to got his 100th goal.
Yeah.
We're going to be flying. Mason and Stellini going to be legends. See, it's the hope, guys.
Yeah. I feel strangely chipper, even though Liverpool were absolute crap again this weekend. But we'll talk about them.
Yeah, but 12:30. How many? You've only got one of them left now, right? Surely.
Well, do you know what? Going into a 12:30 kickoff, which we're bad at, away from home, which we're bad at Man City, and they're good. I had very low expectations. We were sitting there watching at your mum and dad's house, wasn't we? Watching the game, and Salah scored. And what did I do?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Max celebrated.
Absolutely
his Salah
nothing. Because for one, I thought he was offside, but just about a toenail onside, wasn't he? But just didn't celebrate the goal. I just thought 20 minutes in, we're second best here. All that'll happen is City will just come out of us even more, and they did. And begin the second half. In fact, this the first City goal. We'll talk about it in a minute. But the first City goal was class. They sized this apart, made it look easy. But the defending again in the second half. Guys, Liverpool fans, get in the comments and in the chat and tell me how bad that was. We've had some bad defending at our club this year. That was bloody awful, wasn't it? Oh my God, 50 seconds in and there's massive gaps between. Oh, just absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. We need to get into some of these games.
So what you're saying is you really want to be Monday night games.
Liverpool on a Monday night, especially if we're away from home where we're utter guff, get us on a Monday night because then I can be on here and I haven't got a whinge about my poxy football team being crap again.
I just take being a Monday night fixture difficulty, guys. You know, when you're arranging the fixer schedule.
Yeah.
Always on a Monday night, please.
Robert Smith, how are you doing, Robert? We don't like 12:30 kickoffs, that's for sure. You can say that again, mate. Bloody awful. Webby saying Grealish bossed the game. He did. And we do need to talk about him because...
Well, he had to, given the injuries. He had to stand up and be counted, and he did.
Well, given the Foden injury is a little bit longer term than perhaps he would and Pep would like, Jack Grealish is very much on the radar for me, I have to say. We're going to talk about City. We'll talk about ongoing fixtures. We've got, obviously, blanks. In case you've been living under a rock for a little while, we've got blanks and double game weeks coming up on the horizon as well. So... we'll do that as we go along. We're talking about the teams. We'll look at the fixture ticket and we'll figure out what we're going to do. Just so the guys are clear, you've still got a wild card and a free hit in play?
Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts on when you're going to play those? Is the free hit... Well, I've just got the free hit.
32,
I think. 32, I think, is going to be free hit. I'd love to... If you guys are doing anything different than free hit 32, would love to know in the comments when you're doing it and why. Because for me... that feels nailed on. I don't think I'm going to change that.
No.
But you've still got the wild card. So when are you going to play the wild card?
Maybe tomorrow.
Goodness me. I haven't done anything. I've prepped for this live stream and nothing in the slides is Sam's wild card draft.
Right.
Nothing like that.
But, well, I haven't got a draft.
Oh, that's right. Because I haven't got a screen with it on.
Well, you're right then. We walked into Sky yesterday and you said to me, something about wildcard, and I was like, maybe tomorrow, like, as in, like, maybe after the deadline, maybe, but then I looked at my team for 30 and was like,
it's all right.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Well, so maybe this week. I do think the thing is now, I'm at that point with it where if I don't play it this week, I've got to play it the week after because I can't hold it. You can't hold it too late because otherwise the value of it is just decreasing. And obviously, if I don't play it in 30 or 31, I'm not playing it 32 because that's when I'm bench free hitting, which means I'm not playing it till 33. And that feels too far gone. So I do think that playing it in 30 makes a lot of sense because it means I can set my team up. I know everything there is to know about the blanks and the doubles, apart from the last couple of games, which have still got to be rescheduled, but they look almost now to go in 37 because it's the only midweek that doesn't have anything left in it.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting those extra fixtures to go into 37.
Yeah. Let's let me just get a bit of context here. So I have got the ticker up. So here's 30 to 35 for those of you that need it. As you can see, there's the reason the free hit for me in 32. Let's just have a bit of a chip talk before we get into the games. That's the reason I'll be free hitting in 32 because I will want to stay invested in Man U for 30 and 31. I will want to stay invested in Brighton for 30 and 31. In fact, the Brighton fixtures look a bit more difficult. They're away at Spurs and Chelsea, but they are playing so well at the minute. I want them and I will want them in 33-34.
They're brilliant at Spurs every time.
They're brilliant everywhere at the minute. No, but Brighton, I've got nothing but good things to say. They're unreal.
But historically, before they were brilliant all the time,
they
always do well at Spurs. They always play really well.
But the point is, I've got a couple of Man U, I've got three Brighton, I've got a couple of Chelsea.
I'd like some more City.
And I want more City for Southampton and Leicester. I don't know if you've seen, I've watched some of the highlights of the Southampton game. Guff. Rubbish, honestly.
Were you surprised?
I think I said when... Who's the manager? What's his name? The guy that wears the blazers and the polo necks to make him look like Pep Guardiola, even though he's Guff. What's his name?
I don't know.
Can't remember his name. Chat will tell me. Anyway, this current Southampton manager, he's no good, I don't think. They're going to get a new manager if they don't go down.
Only here till the end of the season, isn't he? It's only temp.
But that Man City game, I want Haaland back. I want Grealish. I'm probably going to want, you know, somebody else. So I... The free hit in 32 looks good for me. And then all of those guys, you can just ignore them in 32. Get a team full of Liverpool against Forest, Fulham, Palace and West Ham at the top there, whatever. Knowing that they're going to be coming back, all you assets from the decent teams that don't play in 32 for 33 and then the double in 34, because most of them will then double in 34. So Ruben Sellers, thank you guys, Ruben Sellers. That's why I'll be free hitting in 32. So you are thinking of wildcarding potentially this week, maybe next, but more out of you want to get it done so that you can get the longer term value from it rather than leave it to the end of the season and kind of waste it from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I held it. My always intention for the last few weeks has been playing 30.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those chips with the way that my team is at the moment where I could just sit with them, but I also think that the way the fixtures swing for some clubs, it means I could really take advantage of some of these bigger teams, knowing I really don't have to care about 32 at all. So I can really focus in on making sure that I can exploit 34 and I can make sure that I've got the right players for those nice runs of fixtures that they're going into.
Yeah.
And all these new manager bounces that we're going to have.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Let's get into some of the games, Sam. Before we do, super chat from Mienna Sithorn. Thank you, Mienna, who is a long-term listener and supporter. Mienna, thank you for being here week after week, as you are, mate. Goodness me, though. Ward Saka, looks like Zinchenko and Haaland, 3 points on his bench boost. Have you had worse? We will talk about my bench boost a bit later on. Like yours, Mienna, it featured some Arsenal players. So I can tell you, it did not go particularly well.
And I think if you've got a bench boost that's got Saka in it, I do genuinely think you've been really unlucky. Because at no point in the press conferences did Arteta say that Saka's sick.
Yeah.
And had he said...
Happen. It can happen.
Saka's poorly...
Yeah.
Then the likelihood is you make a different decision about what you're doing, either with the bench boost or with your transfers.
But even with Mienna's Zinchenko, and I had Gabriel as well on my bench boost, for Leeds to score the odd goal in five.
But you said it was coming. It was funny because we were sat together and Arsenal were winning quite comfortably.
Yeah.
And you turned to me and you said, when's the weird consolation goal for Leeds coming?
Because Arsenal do it. They've only kept two clean sheets all season, I think, at home. But it was the nature of the goal. You've seen the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, he hits it. It comes off of Zinchenko's arse and flies past Ramsdale. Otherwise, Ramsdale's fielding it, basically. It's just a massive deflection. Unlucky goal. There goes the Arsenal clean sheet. And basically, the bench boost is in the mud. Anyway.
It's not, because you've got Kane.
Well, I have got Harriet, and I did have David Raya. And we shout out to David Raya. I mean, he let in three goals at the weekend, but he was mad on the match in that game. Like 11 saves or something ridiculous. He was unbelievable, David Raya.
What I loved is that it was him that they got out on interview. Like, of all the players they could have interviewed, they had Raya.
He was amazing. He could see the three goals. Well, we need to dedicate a whole portion of this particular show to Brighton Brentford because so much happened from an FPL perspective. But
with your personal team, but both of your goalkeepers deserve a shout out for being absolutely blimmin' fabulous today.
Oh yeah, I don't know how David De Gea only got 2 points out of that game as well because
he deserved
really
about 12 points on his own as well because the pair of them were fantastic and yet they both lost. Well, they didn't lose. But.
Speaking of fantastic performances, though, Arsenal 4, Leeds 1. They just march on. They just march on, don't they? They got the 8-point gap again now. They're going into this game knowing that City have beaten Liverpool. Pressure, what pressure? Just steamrolled Leeds, even without Saka. Now, I will say, from the highlights that I saw, for the first 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes, it was fairly equal. It was fairly equal. And Ramsdale was the busier of the two keepers, no doubt about it. So, actually, when that consolation goal for Leeds goes in, of course I'm annoyed because it's gotten in off a deflection off of Zinchenko's backside. But I did think back to the beginning of the game, 20, 25 minutes, and thought, well, they could have, maybe should have, would have scored in that period of the game. It's just that Arsenal defended reasonably well and Ramsdale did particularly well in that period of the game. But once they got the penalty, and goodness knows what Ayling's doing for the penalty, he's gone to ground, and as he's on the ground, kicks Jesus in his knee. Now, Jesus does go over quite theatrically, but he kind of has to, because he's been kicked in the knee,
and you have
to go down. But you can't blame him for going down. It is a penalty, and if Jesus stays on his feet, the ref probably doesn't give it. So I think Jesus probably does the right thing, although I don't like to see players go down quite that easily. But I do want to talk about him, right?
So I'd go down if I was kicked in the knee.
Well, yeah, quite. So I don't want to talk about him, though, because he's back in the team, back with a bang, back on penalties. Now, I don't know whether he or Saka would take the penalties.
Right, that's one thing, isn't it? Is if Saka was there as well, would it have been Jesus or would it have been Saka? Don't know.
Don't know, really, do we? Don't know. But he's firmly back on the radar, isn't he? I would suggest Gabriel Jesus.
Yes, I think he is. But I also think that, well, it opens up that whole conversation again, doesn't it, about Arsenal and those front four that we've effectively got now in, well, front, because you've got Saka, you've got Martinelli, you've got Jesus, you've got Trossard. Now, the reality is that week after week, he's not going to play all four of them. He's going to play three of the four. So there's going to be a level of rotation. Now, this week, the rotation came because Saka had been poorly the day before. So he was the obvious rest out. What happens moving forward when Saka's not ill and he is fit? I think we might see a little bit more rotation around Martinelli and Trossard's position, probably, because I think Jesus, the way that he is in that team, is so important. And look, Arsenal have done brilliantly in his absence, and the other players around, the likes of Martinelli, the likes of Saka, massively up that game in a period where it could have gone horribly wrong for Arsenal. Losing Jesus when they did could have been a big turning point in their season, and the way that the rest of the Arsenal team pulled them up, absolutely brilliant. He will go back straight in when he's fit and available, is my feeling. Now, is he fit enough to run 90 minutes every week? Well, that's the only competition that they have left now.
Nine
games. Probably. So yes, I think he probably can. Will Arteta do that? Probably not, because he doesn't have to. He's got the four of them. So he can probably play 70 minutes and bring on Martinelli or Trossard or whoever it is for the last sort of 20, 30 minutes of the game.
Chat saying that Saka on penalty, even when Jesus was playing earlier in the season, Saka was on penalty. So I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right. And the great Del Mondo in chat is saying only rotation now seems to be this, you know, Martinelli, Trossard on the left-hand side. But he thinks that Martinelli is a starter. I tend to agree, although I was impressed again with Trossard. I mean, what a great little signing he's been, right? But, brilliant pickup.
Well, absolutely. But also the other thing is that I think earlier on in the season when they were really rotating, the best... We saw a lot of great stuff from Trossard, but a lot of that was coming at sort of 65, 70 minutes when he was coming on against tired teams, and he really exploited them brilliantly.
Yeah.
But then in other games, we would see him start and Martinelli would be the one that came on and he would exploit them because he was coming on against tired teams. So I think it doesn't necessarily matter too much. And for a lot of people now, you know, the bench boost is done, so you can afford to kind of rotate. You can afford to have these players.
The cheaper players, yeah.
Without worrying too much.
Okay, good. Anything to say about the likes of Ødegaard and Martin, etc.? So they do have, on paper at least, a difficult fixture next week at Anfield. And then it's West Ham, Southampton, so it looks pretty good after that. Then it's the big game against City in 33, which we're all looking forward to. In fact, City, Chelsea, Newcastle looks difficult on paper. So how do you feel about being... Are you doubly invested in Arsenal right now or trebly? Trebled. So you are trebled on Martinelli, Saka and Gabriel. How are you feeling going into that Liverpool game and going into that little run of fixtures there, which in the short term looks all right, but in the medium term is tricky for Arsenal. But as you say, that's the only thing they've got to play for. So and they are absolutely playing out of their skin.
I am not at all worried about owning three. I would not be worried about having three Arsenal players going into the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nor would I.
The later fixtures, once you get to the Man City game and then you've got Newcastle, there's some tougher games in there. But those are such important games in the way that the title race and the Champions League places are going to play out this season that, you know, I think Arsenal will go into those all guns blazing and they could easily return. Gabriel, for me, is quite an easy sell at this point because I don't necessarily think that there's clean sheets there. I'd back Liverpool to score against them next week, even if I don't back Liverpool to win the game. I'd back them to score. I'd back Man City.
Hold on, is it a lunchtime kickoff?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, we might do all right. Might get a goal.
Surely not again. We'll have to check.
Can't be lunchtime again.
You can't be. You mustn't be. Let's look.
Go on then. What would you do? What are you doing with your Arsenal assets then?
So Gabriel's going to go. Sorry, I just blow my nose. Gabriel's going to go. Saka, Martinelli are my other two. Saka's going to stay.
Yeah.
100%. The bigger question is, what do I do with Martinelli? I think I'm going to keep him.
Yeah, how concerned are you about this Trossard rotation risk? Not really? Or a little?
No, because even when he was coming... But you're the 4:30 game on Sunday, by the way, so you're fine.
Good.
You'll be in a bad mood at the live stream, but you're fine.
Good.
I'm not too worried, because when Martinelli was coming off the bench for Trossard in other games, he did incredibly well. So... I think Martinelli, of course, there's always a rotation risk there now with Jesus back in the team as well. There is going to be. The question I have a little bit in the back of my mind is, would I be better off to swap Martinelli out and go with Jesus instead?
Right.
And I can feel myself wanting to go back to that front three of Jesus, Kane.
Well, this is the other thing, isn't it? While you're tripled up on Arsenal, you haven't got an obvious route to Gabriel Jesus if you want him.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get rid of one of the other two, then yeah, he can come in at some stage later in the season.
Well, I mean, I have got a bit of a desire to just think maybe now's the moment, because actually the Liverpool game I can see them scoring against, and then it's the fixtures immediately after that before they hit the City game that are the most attractive ones to be invested in the Arsenal attack.
Okay.
So I could see a situation on wildcard where I look at maybe going for somebody like Jesus there. Again, the caveat we have is no doubles. So I don't think that's necessarily an issue. We've seen time and time again that the double game week players don't always outscore the singles.
Totally.
And we have less doubles to come, obviously, between now and the end. You know, I've got the ones in 34. We'll have some more probably in 37. But not major doubles like we've got this week. So I'm not so worried about not having copious amounts of them. I just think that with a team like Arsenal, you have got potentially the new champions of the league, and de-investing in them as they run up to trying to secure that title feels wrong.
Feels wrong, doesn't it? Feels wrong. Well, they are absolutely on fire.
God, can we move on? I hate... That was way too nice.
You spoke a lot there about Arsenal, which was interesting.
Can we move on?
I did skip over my team.
I feel a bit horrible about myself.
I went straight to the Arsenal game and didn't bother talking about my team, but let's get it out of the way. So I think I've already given my opinion, which was in the first half, I thought we were second best, but were always looked dangerous on the counter-attack, Liverpool. But ultimately, I was never that confident we were going to win. City were far better than us, really. And in the second half, to concede 50 seconds into the second half, in the way that we did, was criminal, really. And then the third goal was even worse, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I don't want to talk too much about... Well, I do want to talk a little bit about Liverpool assets because...
I think Liverpool are quite important to talk about because...
We do need to talk about us, really, because we've got Arsenal coming up, of course, but then it's Leeds, Forest, West Ham, a double game week, Brentford. We've got a lot of home games in there as well. It's... I suppose we do need to be talking about us a little bit, don't we?
For the managers that have used their free hit already, like Max, Liverpool assets are key. They could be really important because they play in 32 and it's a nice game against Forest. And they have the double in 34. So, actually, Liverpool could be a really important team to be invested in. And I think it's difficult. I think it's really difficult because you're going into 30... In a situation where... Now, for me, this is why the wildcard kind of makes sense. Because I don't really want to invest in Liverpool ahead of the Arsenal game. And I don't really need to because I've got my free hit. But I could then, you know, get the rest of my team sorted for 34 and then bring some Liverpool players in later when hopefully Luis Diaz is back. Because that's who I'd really like from Liverpool. I don't... Salah got the goal. But the cost of having Salah... To me right now, with the way that Liverpool are performing, doesn't add up. Not going into the game against Arsenal. Now, the fixtures that you have after Arsenal do look attractive for scoring goals. So I'll be keeping my eyes on what happens in that game.
And crucially, we're not away too often. We've only got two away games in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In the next 7 Premier League games, we're away only twice.
Yeah.
And we are better at home. No
much
doubt
better,
about it.
Much.
We are much better at home. Even the Arsenal game, I was going to say I would give us half a chance against them. I'm probably looking at a draw, maybe. I probably would take a draw. But Forest, Spurs, Fulham and Brentford at home, I'd like to think we could win all those games.
You're also a little bit like Arsenal in terms of the rotation problems. Because obviously we saw Darwin miss out on the start in this one. He played Salah with Gakpo and Jota. And I think there would have been a lot of managers that were, you know, either wildcarding last week or just looking to invest in Liverpool for the double that were kind of, because of 32 and 34, that were thinking, oh, maybe Darwin is a sort of relatively secure route into Liverpool. What's your thoughts on him moving forward? Because is he a rotation risk? Is he going to start more often than he... They're not?
I think they all are a little bit. I'm not sure that Jurgen Klopp knows his front three. I think for years we had Firmino, Salah and Mane and it was them three. They were first choice and we had some others come in and around it that sort of contributed. Origi contributed and Jota contributed. But right now, I don't think, apart from Salah on the right, obviously, I don't think Klopp could confidently say, and we as Liverpool fans, I don't think we can confidently say what our first choice front three is.
No.
I probably would say Diaz, Darwin, Salah, probably. But then that's probably doing Jota a bit of a disservice. And Gakpo has actually done all right since he's come to the club, really. Done okay. So, I don't know. It's a difficult one. I think that's what Salah gives you in FPL. He gives you that certainty because he's always going to start and he's on the pens and he gets the goals and all that sort of stuff. So if you are, you know, without the free hit and going into 32...
It's hard though, isn't it, with Liverpool? Because, you know, what you've just said is 100% right about the attacking players. So then your mind automatically goes, all right, well, these are all rotations. I'll look at the defence then because, you know, they're going to play. But
don't
my goodness, the defence is so bad at the moment.
Don't look at the defence.
And they're not getting attacking returns.
Even those two, Trent and Robbo, don't bother. Don't, trust me, don't bother with the defence. We are not keeping clean sheets, ever. And I know that we just come off of we had a reasonable run
of
clean sheets.
Well.
It was a reasonable run of clean sheets, but it just the defending's gone to pot again, right? And I tell you that one of the key reasons why that's happened is the young man Bacetic has been injured. Because actually that little run of clean sheets, he was in the team. Okay, Fabinho was in a bit, but it was largely and mostly Bacetic. And he was playing really well. and he's a kid, a bit unknown really at the beginning of the season, but he did a really good job. As soon as he got injured a couple of weeks ago, in my head I was like, there go the clean sheets. That was my gut reaction, was there go the clean sheets. Because Fabinho's coming back in, doesn't do the work anymore, legs and head both gone.
Yeah.
And it just looks so exposed. Van Dijk is looking so exposed. Unbelievable. So, anyway, Liverpool, yes, invest potentially if you haven't got the free hit in 32. And the fixtures do look investable. When you look at the fixture ticker, we're up there, right? And we've got the double in 34. So you, I'm wrong. You are right. Absolutely, we should be having the conversation. I just didn't want to have it this week because we got battered by City. But talk to me about Manchester City, because if you have got the free hit and haven't got any City right now, which you haven't, you got Haaland.
I've got Haaland.
I haven't got any City. And they're going into Southampton, Leicester. I mean, Christ on a bike. There's some goals there. Then it's free hit 32 for many of us. Then it's Arsenal, okay, big game. Fulham, West Ham, Leeds. And a double game week in there, 34, which looks triple captain Haaland to me, if you've still got the chip, by the way. So I absolutely want to be going into 30 investing in City. I've already got a planned transfer to do Haaland. So I'm pretty much, as long as he's fit, going to be getting Haaland. But I'm already thinking a -4 for another City player might be on the cards.
Well, I think Grealish is the obvious one because, you know, Foden, he's had his...
Really good, wasn't he, at the weekend, I thought?
He was. He's had, and he's, and Foden's had his appendix removed. So, I mean, Pep said 2 to 3 weeks. I'll be astounded if he's back in 2 to 3 weeks. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll surprise me. And if he is back in 2 to 3 weeks, I don't see him being back playing 90 minutes in 2 to 3 weeks. It'll be bits of time, bits of time. Grealish was absolutely, well, he just terrorised the Liverpool defence. He was utterly brilliant. Played brilliantly with Alvarez, who I thought actually had a really good game, came in, played well. And that's difficult to do when you aren't, when you aren't getting regular minutes. So to come on and play like he was playing every week is really credit to him.
There was one bit where at 1-1, Salah got in behind and got free. From one of their corners, and we counterattacked. That was the main game plan for the weekend. And Grealish sprinted back, the length of the pitch, to get a foot in on it that then gave it to Edison. And then, like, a minute later, he's down the other end assisting the second or third goal. Can't remember. One of the goals for Alvarez. Might even have been the first goal. Can't remember. But the point was, he's full of it at the minute, Grealish. He's absolutely full
confident.
Of beans because he's confident. He's putting the yards in. He's putting the effort in. And he looks the business. Now, I will agree with what's being said in the chat. So both Simon and Harry are both saying, well, listen, got Champions League fixtures coming up. So the rotation is going to be rife.
But there's less potential there while Foden is out.
Mm.
I think, you know, you get that rotation with the likes of Mahrez usually. Now, I thought I had a good game as well. Came in, played well. I think you will see a lot more rotation with him around the Champions League, though. That is inevitable.
Yeah.
But I also think the other trouble you have with City is that, you know, we are at a point where most of us now have played our bench boosts. Most of us are in a place where if you get a player that doesn't play, then it's not the end of the world. You got, you know, you can kind of use your bench a bit differently when you're not worrying about, you know, playing a chip on it. But also, with Man City and the likes of Grealish, if he doesn't start, he will come on. And when he comes on, in the fixtures that they have, if he got 20 minutes across those games, I would still bet on him returning.
Yeah, the fixtures are too good. The next two in particular, Southampton, Leicester.
And Foden's not going to be there.
Oh, man alive. Southampton was so bad this weekend, honestly. So bad. Yes, eyes on Man City and Liverpool, to be fair, even though Liverpool were particularly bad against Man City. Listen, they're not going to be playing them every week, and they've got fixtures ahead that look pretty good. We haven't got time to go through all the games, Sam, and of course, as you guys can see on the screen, we have got all these games still to go in 29. I do just want to touch on a couple more. In particular, one of my favourite games to watch so far this season. It was brilliant. Brighton versus Brentford, 3-3. I've got loads to discuss, loads of opinion. What did you make of it?
I love games where teams just go, we're going for it. We're playing our football and we're not going to compromise based on what you might do.
Really
and
good.
Both of these sides, they did that, both of them. Brentford turned up to play their football. Brighton were like, no, we're playing our football. And it led to an absolute belter of a game.
Didn't it show you how confident Brentford are at the moment as well. Because Brentford going away to... But that's a really hard Brighton away at the moment. Well, all season it's been hard, but at the moment particularly hard. But they've gone there full of beans from having, you know, good form over the last, well, let's face it, 2 to 3 months, actually, the way they're playing. And they've taken the lead three times, right? And fair play to Brighton, shows a lot of character from Brighton to come back three back. Times. But Brentford, great. Really, really good.
If you're Brentford, you will feel a little bit hard done by, because it was a penalty, but it was late. It was a late penalty.
VAR, all the rest of it, yeah.
And I think if you're Brentford, you will feel a bit aggrieved that you didn't get 3 points out of that game. But I also thought that Brighton deserved a share of the points because it was, it was great. And I think, you know, we are coming to a point of the season where with Brighton assets, you just, even with the slightly more difficult fixtures that they have on the ticker, the fact that they have the double in 34 and they're going to double again, probably in 37, means that you just have to be invested. And that's part of the thing with me at the moment in terms of the wild card, because I still only have one Brighton asset.
Yeah.
And one Brighton asset definitely is not enough.
No.
So you definitely need another Brighton attacking player. Two midfielders from Brighton feels absolutely nailed. It's just essential. I think that there was a bit of a conversation last week, and I think had I wildcarded going into 29, I likely would have taken Tony out because it was a tough game against Brighton and then a tough game against Manchester United to come in midweek. And the threat of the yellow card was...
Looming. Yeah.
And I think I would have gone, okay, the threat of that is too much. I just get Watkins instead. Now, that wouldn't have been a bad thing, given that Watkins returned well. But we've now got to a point where, you know, I think whatever happens next with Tony in this second part of the double, he is now a player that in my team, even with the good form that he's in, I see as being expendable. Because at some point in the next couple of weeks, he'll get booked. And he's going to miss two games.
Yeah.
So I've got him through the both games of the double. Thank you. But after that, I can't see him surviving without getting another yellow card. Yeah. And the two games that means he misses between now and the end of the season is just too much to keep him.
Okay. Tell me about your Brighton position then. And before you do, some of the stats they had on Match of the Day for this game. And by the way, if you haven't caught the highlights of this game, just go watch it. Brilliant game. But Brighton created... They are so creative.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They are so creative. They had some... There was an amazing stat that they reeled out. They had something like 30-something opportunities, attempts on goal. They had about 13, 14 on target. Raya made like 11 saves in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the stat that stood out for me that they had on Match of the Day was that every outfield player had at least 2 attempts on goal.
Which is mental.
Every outfield player.
Yeah.
There is threat all over the pitch from Brighton and Hove Albion. They are an unbelievably good team right now. Now, their defending from set pieces leaves a little to be desired, I have to say. If there is an Achilles heel,
it's that.
Brighton fans, I would suggest they probably need to sharpen up on that. And actually, Brentford exploited that very well at the weekend. But attacking-wise, they are brilliant. And I think you do have to have two midfielders. So you're invested in McAllister, but no one else.
Yeah.
Mitoma or March for you then?
Well, you see Okay, so here is a perfect example of an FPL manager's predicament. Because you watch the games, and I'm like, I want March. Because that...
Yeah.
Honestly, the performances...
Top for XG underachievers,
week upon week... The involvement in the game.
He should be hauling every week.
He should be getting a double-digit haul every time he steps foot on the pitch.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah.
Yet Mitoma plays well. Yeah. Don't. This is not a Matoma's rubbish thing. Honestly, it's not.
He's honestly not.
He's playing great, but he's not doing what March is doing.
Yeah.
He's playing well, but he's not doing what March is doing. Yet it's Mitoma that's picking up all the FPL points. So every part of my brain goes, get March, because he's everywhere and he's creating chances and he's, you know, he's getting shots away. And the potential for a haul is absolutely huge. But then the sensible part of my brain goes, yeah, but
Mitoma actually sticks
that.
It away.
Correct.
Yeah. And actually, if you look at the XG overachievers, so we've already spoken about March being incredibly unlucky with his XG. Mitoma is in the top 6. In fact, he is 6th in the game week so far for overachiever. So he did get the goal, of course, but he's only got an XG, he only racked up an XG of 0.15, according to Fantasy Football Scout. So therein lies the difference. March is getting the opportunities and spurning them. Matoma's getting them, and he's clinical. I think Matoma is an unbelievably good player.
Oh, he is. And I have, and I'm not for a second saying he's not.
Yeah.
It's just that I watch March and I think...
Yeah, but did you watch the highlights? Because yes, yeah. March, very unlucky. But Matoma also racked up loads, right? That stat about his XG doesn't tell the whole story. Because
no,
there was quite a few block shots in there. Like, there was one in the first half where I think, was it Gross or McAllister put him through? I think it was McAllister. And he's bearing down on goal, just about to get the shot away, and the defender comes in with a brilliant tackle. But, you know, he's a toe away from, again, getting a great shot on goal. The guy is deadly. He's absolutely deadly.
I think my point is that with those three Brighton assets, McAllister, March and Matoma, you have three brilliant FPL options. I'll probably end up going Matoma because I feel like I'll be frustrated by going for March. But I do also feel like March's potential to absolutely haul is bigger than Matoma's.
Yeah. So those two next fixtures, Spurs and Chelsea, where they don't put you off wanting to get another Brighton midfielder?
No, they don't. I mean, Spurs defensively, look, we've got problems defensively. We've got Emerson Royale out injured. We're missing Bentancur. That's massively difficult for us in terms of, like you were saying, for Liverpool, that protecting the back four, you really miss that midfielder spot. And Bentancur and the relationship that he had with Højbjerg, that was working so well that it's
so they can
it's
exploit
disrupted
that.
Us. They
Absolutely,
can exploit
yeah.
that. The one thing I would say is I would be put off buying a Brighton defender because their weaknesses from set pieces are exactly the sort of thing that Harry Kane and Son could exploit.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't think I'll be going a Stupinian this week. But going in towards 34 and 37, when I'm expecting their other double to be, that's when I'll get in the third Brighton asset.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the chat is saying, Tayyip is saying, Mitoma's finishing is a difference. It is. I think
he's more clinical.
I honestly think he's a revelation. I think he's a really, really top player.
It's just whether he'll be a Brighton next year.
Well, maybe. I mean, they're a club in the up. You know, for everything that Chelsea are not, they are. I mean, they're an incredibly well-run club. And they're doing a fantastic
Interest
job.
From big, big teams, though.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Listen, I just get him. Just get him. If you haven't maxed out your Brighton quota, just get him. They're so good. And McAllister, again, I sort of feel... He did have a couple of chances in the game. And I captained him this week. I'll talk about teams in a minute. I did captain him this week. So I do feel a little bit jammy with the penalty at the end. He did end up subsequently getting booked after the penalty, which is a bit of a shame because that cost him a bonus point as well. So actually, that was a bit of a swing on the captaincy. Brighton actually could have had another penalty in the last minute for another hickey handball, which was on the 95th minute or something, and they got away with that one. So it could have been two penalties for McAllister. Wouldn't say he was necessarily bombing into the box as we perhaps have seen quite so much recently. He was a little bit more reserved, but he was still in and around it. In a very central area.
Also, I do think part of that might have been preserving energy from coming back late from international
break. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, maybe he's not sort of bursting in quite so much because he will be against Spurs. For sure. Let's talk about one or two other games now because we're already coming up to the hour. A quick chat about Newcastle 2, Manchester United 0. Again, very briefly, I thought they were good value for the win. Newcastle thought they played very well.
100% deserved it.
Yeah.
Thought Newcastle were excellent from the get-go. They were aggressive.
In attacking areas
they
as well, right?
They were attacking. Yeah. They were commanding of the ball. They didn't give Manchester United moments to kind of get their heads in it. They were on them from the minute they started. And they got in their heads. Like you saw Bruno Fernandes was getting himself riled and wound up. Rashford got himself wound up. When his boot came off, he threw it in kind of slight annoyance. So there was a lot of... I just thought Newcastle were excellent today. I thought they really deserved the win. I thought Trippier was brilliant, as always. What I thought was really interesting was the way that the front three played. Obviously, Isaac was really quiet from a FPL perspective today.
But he was very good.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought St. Maximin had an excellent game. He was giving Dalot... So many issues down that
joint
side.
Joint top for chances created so far this game week. Alan Saint-Maximin with six. Very good. Yeah, good
He was really good. And obviously he got the assist before he went off, Willock, I thought, played well today. And that was a big call from Eddie Howe, because he could have put Joe Linton back in and he didn't. He let Willock play, and Willock did a really good job. Look, Newcastle were well deserving of the win. From a Manchester United perspective, it's weird, isn't it? Because...
How do you feel about them now then? Because the fixtures, let's just cross back to the fixtures. Yeah, Everton and Forest up next, so I don't think you're panic selling anybody just yet. But again, if you haven't got the free hit, it's blank in 32, Spurs in 33, but then it's the double in 34. I just don't know what you do with Manchester United assets, but it certainly isn't a sell ahead of Everton at home, is it?
No. I mean, I've got two. Rashford and Shaw.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about them heading into the next couple. Obviously, in 32, they'll disappear on my free hit. I think you could potentially hold them for 30, 31. And if you don't have the free hit in 32, you could sell them and then bring them back in after the Spurs game, ready for the double in 34. But the reality is that against Spurs, I think you'll want the likes of Rashford in your team. Whether you want Luke Shaw against Spurs, because he wasn't anywhere near as attacking today.
When is Casemiro back?
Is it three matches? It was a three-match ban, wasn't
it? The chat will tell me, I'm sure, when Casemiro is back.
It was a three-match ban.
So... Oh, here we go. Great Demondo, thank you. But in game week 33, have Casemiro back.
So Spurs.
They've got Everton and Forest. And the reason I mention that is because I thought today against top-class opposition in Newcastle, they missed him. They massively missed him. Because he's the sort of player... Like, and I don't like to do Liverpool comparisons, but a bit like Fabinho a couple of seasons ago, not Fabinho this season, a couple of seasons ago when he was decent, was that Casemiro has got this really handy knack of spotting the danger before it gets into a dangerous position with the back four. And as a defender in that back four, you must love having somebody like Casemiro playing in front of you, because he's just there, like, sorting out all the problems before they become problems, if that makes sense. And I just don't think they've got that natural kind of replacement to do that. Now, today, they played Scott McTominay a bit more advanced in the first half, and they sat Sabitzer and Fernandes a little bit deeper, which is, if you bought in Fernandes this week, you don't want to see. Now, he did change that a little bit going into the second half, ended up not really working because Newcastle get the win. And I think he largely played McTominay in that slightly more forward position because I think he wanted him to do a bit of a job on Bruno Fernandes, Bruno Guimaraes, I think, from a Newcastle perspective.
He didn't.
And he did an okay-ish job for a little while, but not really. So I'm not sure he got his tactics 100% right. And to that end, I'm not convinced that Ten Hag knows what his best midfield three is without Casemiro. When Casemiro's in there, stick him in with, frankly, anybody alongside him and put Fernandes advanced. Because anybody next to Casemiro is looking good. But when he's not there, they miss him massively. United fans don't need me, at the very least, to tell you this. He is Rolls bloody Royce, Casemiro. He's a brilliant midfielder.
I mean, look, the two fixtures that they have coming up next, you shouldn't need him. They should be able to win those games without him. The Spurs game is back for, so I don't think it will be too much of a miss now that the new car. I think it was a massive miss today. Don't think it should be for the next couple.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think if you've got United players, you're fine for the next couple.
Yeah. What is it? So Everton home and what? Forest away. Yeah. They don't become a. I mean, they did get outplayed. They were outplayed today, no doubt.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between Newcastle and Everton.
Yeah. Roy's back and he's done the business. Last minute goal.
Could you believe it?
Last minute goal, and a very well taken last minute goal, by the way, by Mateta. What a touch that was on the turn. Very,
very
nice.
There was something really sweet about seeing little old Roy Hodgson's face when that little goal went in. Bless him.
Yeah, well, not only that, but Brodge has got the sack on the back of that defeat away at Crystal Palace. Deeply, deeply unlucky if you bought in Iverson this week. If you did Danny Ward to Iverson this week because Danny Ward got dropped for him over the last couple of weeks, that is deeply unlucky because he got the OG and you have just been very unlucky there. Not too much to say, I don't think. Let's have a look at the fixtures for both Palace and Leicester. So Leicester have got a game in 32. No double in 34, but the fixtures outside of that City game in 31 don't look too bad. And if they can get a bit of new manager bounce, or no manager bounce, I guess, I don't know.
But depends who they get.
Let's see what happens. Certainly, I bought in Maddison this week, mainly because I looked at 30 and thought, oh, Bournemouth, and then Wolves in 32, and then Leeds in 33. And even Everton haven't been that defensively as solid as we thought they might be when Dyche come in. I thought there's goals for Maddison over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Now I'm not sure, because Rodgers is gone, so I'm not sure, you know, and none of us really know what's going to happen. I don't think he's a panic sell. I am going to hold him for Bournemouth at home.
I do think that Leicester have suddenly become a bit of an unknown though.
Yeah, because it's difficult to know what to do with him, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, Ian Acho was playing great, and then he started Dakar in the last two, and it's not made any sense to me. And then he swapped out Ward for Everson, and now with a new manager, or at least, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, whether they're going to appoint somebody or whether they're going to get a temporary manager until the end of the season, who knows?
Yeah.
But you can't help but feel that there's so many question mark slots now in that team. Like, will Danny Ward get his spot back? Will Ian Acho start?
Yeah,
what you can say is that James Maddison will start. So I don't think that it's a problem going into 30, but if we don't start to see something more from Leicester in 30, well, they've got obviously the game again in 29. So if in this game in 29 and in 30, we don't see anything from Maddison, then I think you can sell him.
Yeah, all right. And then from a Palace perspective, let's just flick back here. Not going to say too much about them. They're right up there. I mean, they're third. Decent fixtures.
But
were you inspired by the Roy Hodgson-ness of that team over the weekend? I wasn't, to be honest with you. I thought Mateta took his goal very well. So
just don't think maybe,
but
I don't think
you're going to go there. I don't think you're going to go there. Zaha picked up a bit of a knock as well. So that might be a bit of a challenge. I think he'd done his groin or whatever. So keep an eye on that. Anything else we want to talk about from these games, Sam, over the weekend? Anything else that we've missed here?
No, I don't think so.
That's about long and short of it. I will just say, on the West Ham game in particular, not that I'm thinking about bringing too many of them in FPL, I thought Paqueta played very well for West Ham today. Very good. Very, very good. You couldn't play Paqueta without spluttering. There's one of those famous and expected coughing fits. Here it is. Do you want some water? I've got some water here if you want it. Are you okay? No. Okay. I'll talk about Lucas Paqueta just while you have a coughing fit. Top for tackles in the game week so far with 14. The next best, for context, was Castagna at Leicester and Burn for Newcastle, both with 9. So Lucas Paqueta, very, very good and instrumental alongside Declan Rice in that midfield for West Ham today. So very, very good. But the key thing to take away from that game, in my opinion, was target Southampton. They looked particularly bad. And I'm afraid, Saints fans, you got Manchester City next. Anyway, let's move on from the game, Sam. Let's talk about... I'll give you an opportunity just to catch your breath.
I'm okay.
Well, you can still have an opportunity to catch your breath because I'm just going to give the Patreon a quick shout-out. So thank you to all of our patrons. I've had quite a few new ones over the international break. So welcome if you're new to FPL Family Patron. All the links are in the description below, patreon.com/FPL Family. I know many of you are in the live chat as well. So thank you to all of our patrons that come and support us on a monthly basis and enjoy getting those extra podcasts and those Zoom sessions and those FPL Manager of the Month competitions. Speaking of which, congratulations to Amy Gillen, who was our Manager of the Month for March with 231 points. Commiserations to Tony and to Brian, who were pretty close, but it was Amy that took the crown in March with 231 points. She is going to be sent, she's asked for a signed David Beckham shirt. So she's getting a little David Beckham 7 England shirt signed.
Oh, an England one.
Sent from our friends and our sponsors at Kicking the Balls. So kickingtheballs.com. All the links are in the description below to both our Patreon and to Kicking the Balls. So I hope, Amy, you enjoy your prize. And if you think you can beat Amy or Tony or Brian in the April competition, then it is not too late to join. We're only on the 2nd of April. It's a great time to go and join us over on patreon.com/FPL family and take part in April's Manager of the Month competition. And there are quite a few game weeks in April, so it's going to be a very good competition indeed. Very good competition. Sam, let's talk about your team for the game week. 42 points, a pretty tricky looking game week so far. Down to 119k overall rank. Talk us through your team.
Was expecting a drop this week. No Chip, obviously, is going to have a big impact because for the majority of managers, you're at least... the majority of good managers who pay attention and, you know, use their chips wisely. You're going to be at least four players more than me and my team. But also, I was adamant that I wanted to play some of my single game weekers. The Saka thing I can't help but feel really annoyed about because had I known he was ill, I would have benched him.
Well, how do you think us bench boosters feel? Because I think if us bench boosters had known that Saka was ill and not going to play...
You'd have sold him.
Probably wouldn't have bench boosted. Probably not.
Yeah, because you could have waited for 34.
Yeah. Because then I'm bench boosting... Because I'm not going to sell Saka. So then I probably would have played Kane. Probably wouldn't have played. I'm not sure who I wouldn't have played. But
well, you'd have still left Gabriel out.
Probably
you?
Would have benched Gabriel. Yeah. Saka would sit on the bench with one or zero, whatever. So yeah, it might have affected my chip strategy, but as it was, it is what it is.
But you know, there's enough in there. I think at the moment, Rashford was my captain. I wasn't expecting a lot from him today against Newcastle.
That's the more difficult of the two games.
It was the more difficult of the two. I wasn't expecting a lot from him in that one, but obviously hoped that we'd get something out of him. I felt very much with McAllister that, look, I liked him a lot, but my vice-captain went to Maddison because I was worried that Brighton might share the goals and the assists. And that's exactly what happened, to be fair. They did do that because they are absolutely brilliant. But they do share the points around.
I know we've got plenty of football still to be played this game week. Thoughts on transfers for next week? Well, are you thinking about that second Brighton midfielder?
Well, it's likely to be a wild card. So at that point, and the reason I'm thinking about doing it now is I want to change out both my goalkeepers. I want to change out, Henry, I want to change out. I want to lose Gabriel.
Badiashai, got to go.
And I want to lose Badiashai. So that's five already in just the defensive slot.
Yeah.
Then I want to look at making some changes to the midfield, having that extra Brighton midfielder in there.
What changes would you make to that midfield? Because I'm looking at that midfield and thinking, well, you wouldn't want to change too much of that. I mean, Martinelli maybe, but even then he's ticking over with five. Got the assist this week, didn't he? Yeah. Maddison, all right, everything that's going on at Leicester at the moment, but it's Bournemouth away next week. So where does that extra Brighton midfielder go in?
Well, so the potential... So either they go in from Martinelli, or what could happen there is that midfield five just locks for a week and my transfer for 31 is to take out Maddison after that nice fixture and then put in the Brighton asset after they've played Spurs. And that possibly could be the way that I go about it. But I also want to change out, because I want to bring in Grealish, ideally, for these next fixtures. So I just need... Oh, I've got the hiccups now. I just need to think really carefully about those midfield five slots. And then I want to swap Tony.
Okay.
So I'm at least seven transfers that I'd like to make to this team. And when you get to that number, it's like, well, that is perfect for a wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, 42 points. A little bit below par, but we've got loads of football still to play. You're right. Rashford's preferred game, I would suggest, is the Brentford at home game. But listen, the way that Brentford are playing, especially away from home.
Yeah, but Brentford will concede.
Difficult, isn't it?
They will concede chances. And I think that's the thing. It's at Old Trafford. Brentford will go and attack. That will lead to opportunities for Manchester United. So I suspect that Rashford can get something out of that game.
I'm not sure they'd be as gung-ho as that.
Who?
Brentford. I don't know. Just because they approach the Brighton game like that doesn't mean they'll go to Old Trafford and do that.
See, I think that that's how they're next.
I think they'll be a bit more.
Do you?
I think they'll be. I think they went to Brighton today. Went to Brighton over the weekend, thinking we're just going to go at this team and accept that we're going to concede some chances and try and get something on the break on a set piece. Whereas I think at United, I think they could. I just think they'll approach it differently. I don't think it'll be quite so high score. I think it'll be a closer game. But yeah, loads of football still to be played. Not least Harry Kane has got to play as well tomorrow. So,
well, he's got to get a hat-trick tomorrow.
Well, I hope so, because I said about him on State Your Case. I go on to Sky and say State Your Case, he normally does quite well, to be fair.
Yeah, whereas mine always get injured, don't play or ill, apparently.
Well, yours was Saka, so not so
Saka
good.
Saka three times now.
Not so good. Here's my team for this week. 70. I took a hit this week, so my transfers were David De Gea in for Danny Ward. So that was my goalkeeper situation I had to sort out. And quite late in the day, I did do Martinelli to Maddison. Obviously, if I knew about Saka, it might have been Saka to Maddison. But I've got no regrets about that. I still think Maddison could still do well against Aston Villa. So, a net game week score of 66, up to 82k, which is good. So I was about 115k before.
We've basically swapped ranks.
So yeah. I'm now 82k. McAllister captain coming in was good. Could have been another 4 points on there because of the yellow card and the loss of a bonus point. So that would have been 16 rather than 12. That would have been nice to have, but nevertheless, still okay. Ollie Watkins coming in clutch in that game. Took his goal so well, didn't he? We didn't speak much about that game, but Villa were very good. a lot of talk about Chelsea being bad and Potter being sacked, etc. But hand it to Aston Villa.
Ollie Watkins has been fantastic.
He has got them playing very well, Unai Emery. Mm. And Ollie Watkins in particular is absolutely flames at the minute. He's absolutely on one. And he took that goal with the confidence of a striker that's been scoring regularly, didn't he?
100%.
Really, really good. And I think I saw some graphic before that game that Sky used where they were talking about Villa before the World Cup. And or was it before Unai Emery? Probably before Unai Emery. And now in the new Emery era. And with that win against Chelsea, they would be like fourth in the table, third or fourth. Like proper in the Champions League spots. I mean, they are playing so well.
And the thing is, with Watkins, ahead of this game, he was the most informed forward for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, he's been fantastic. And of course, continued that into game week 29. So Watkins was the player that I was most worried about this week not having.
Yeah.
He was the one player that I was like, oh, and I very nearly didn't do Luke Shaw, Tarkowski to Luke Shaw. I very nearly did Haaland to Watkins. And the only reason I didn't was because I was a bit like, I don't think I want to, just in case I don't want to wildcard, I don't think I want to do that. But yeah,
Those two look great. I thought they both played well, right? So Watkins now going away to Leicester. The way that Villa are playing, got no problem with him in that second game, obviously. Tony, I think they'll rack up some XG. I think United give up XG without Casemiro. I think he'll get chances, Tony.
It's just whether Tony gets through this one without a yellow card that puts him out of the next two.
Possibly.
But that doesn't matter now.
If that happens, just gives me a reason to bin him for Haaland.
I've got
no problem with that doesn't whatsoever. Matter. He can get booked if he wants now.
Yeah.
Prefer him not to because I like the point. But I think he'll get XG at Man U and he can easily score. Watkins is in great form. I've got Harry still to play on the bench boost. Raya, what a hero. I mean, coming up with a six in a game where he's conceded three goals tells you everything about his performance.
He was
unbelievable, by the way. Brilliant, brilliant. And then Trippier and Botman, the double Newcastle clean sheet coming in as well, was really good. Despite having a pretty good score for the game week, like, I'm looking at my team and I'm thinking De Gea probably didn't deserve to be on the end of a 2-0 because he played really well. Chilwell...
I don't know what he needed to do.
He has got the Solly March Award for points dodging this week. I mean, he put in so many crosses. Again, I've got some stats here. Top for crosses in the game, it was 16. To put that into context, next best was Gross for Brighton, who put in 12. So he's done four more than anybody else.
If anyone was going to score for Chelsea, it should have been
him. He had a header ruled out right on half-time for VAR, which...
He had one off the bar as well.
Probably was right to be ruled out, but you've seen him given one off the bar... The problem, again, 16 crosses all well and good, but you've got nobody to bloody hit in the middle. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
But Chilwell was really good. So
it's got you lot next, though, and your defending leaves a lot to be desired. So
well, quite. Yeah, quite. So Chile being on 0 points was a tough one to take, to be honest with you. And then Maddison, obviously, just caught Palace on a good day. So let's see how they play against Aston Villa without Brendan Rodgers. So, yeah, if anything, I'm looking at the bench boost going, well, it's all on Harry, really. If Harry performs, then... it's worth playing the bench boost. If he doesn't, probably it's not.
There's...
I don't know. I mean, Saka and Gabriel getting 1 and 2. That feels like a bit of a waste of the chip at the minute. I don't know.
Yeah, but...
depends on Raya as well, right?
Raya's done really well for you. And look, if you were going to have to rely on a player against a team like Everton to do well for you on a bench boost, you back Harry Kane.
I'd have Harry, yeah, without a doubt.
So I think, I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. So there we go. So that is my team. Looking good so far. Looking good so far. And right now I've picked the right captain just about. Didn't go for Rashford. Thought it was an okay week to kind of go against that. I know that he was very highly captained. I think his EO, his effective ownership in and around me was about 140. So anything that he would have done would have hurt, even despite me having him. But McAllister's EO was something like 20-30%. Might even have been a smidgen more. His actual ownership in the game is still less than
10%. Seven,
I just thought, if he all he's got to do is get a pen, and it's a big green arrow. Mm. And that's exactly what happened. So, the way that Brighton are playing right now, I just think you back them. I just think you back them. They are creating XG for fun right now. What, 33 attempts, 15 on target.
Mm.
Raya had to have the game of his life and conceded 3 goals. Could have been 7 or 8. And that is not a joke. Against the Brentford side that are pretty bloody good themselves. Mm. It was unreal. Absolutely brilliant from Brighton. So, there we go. Plenty of football still to be played over this week. I'm sure, Sam... plenty of FPL content coming up as well for this week. What's going on?
Well, it's a bit of a funny week, of course, this week, because, of course, we have so much football still happening.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of there's a lot of not a lot happening until we get sort of more of game week 29 over and done with. But I'll obviously be back on the official podcast on Thursday,
you think? Not sure.
Is there a game on Thursday night?
Don't know. Sort of question I'd ask you.
It's Thursday or Friday. I don't know. Because I remember us having this debate about when we should do it.
Some stage later in the week, there will be a fantasy podcast. Is there an off the bench this week? I'm enjoying the off the bench. Is that happening?
Yes. Yeah, there is.
Very good.
There is an off the bench thing that's happening on Tuesday after the first round of fixtures.
Excellent. All right.
Because obviously we've still got the Monday night game that gets everybody played. So yeah, it will all happen as usual, but just maybe slightly later than you would expect because, of course, we've still got so much that can happen over the next couple of days.
Very good. All right, and as usual, we'll have our Ohana podcast for our Patreon supporters on Friday, and then there'll be some Sky Sports Nest from... Who's on? It's not us on Sky this Saturday, is it? On the Fantasy Show on Sky, I think it might be Praz and Sonaldo on this Saturday, which would be great. I mean, nice to see the lads on there. So that's it, guys. Thank you very much for joining us this Sunday on FPL Family. Well done so far in game week 29. If you're up into the, I don't know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, that is a good score so far this week. But if you're not, fear not, because there is still plenty of football to go. Starting with your lot tomorrow. Can they win?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Harry Kane hat trick. Come on, Harry, you can do it for us. Leave us a like before you go.
Sonny's 100th goal, that's what I really want.
We do want Sonny to get his 100th goal, that'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be good.
I want Sonny on his 100th goal, I want a hat-trick from Kane, and I want 3 points for Stellini and Mason.
As usual, not asking for much.
I'm not asking
for much. Guys, thank you for joining us. Leave us a like before you go, and hit that subscribe button if you're not already, and we'll see you this time next week when game week 29 will be done, and we'll be looking ahead to the next one. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.